Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Can Trump bomb Iran to the peace table? Can escalation force an end to the conflict? At this point, escalation is only a tactic. It's not a strategy. That is why the United States and Israel continue to lose this war of choice. Crosstalking Trump's war, I'm joined by my guest, Suleiman Ahmed in London. He's an independent journalist. Also in London, we have Bushra Sheikh. She's an independent journalist and political commentator. And in Tehran, we cross to Ali Salihan. He is a senior researcher at Governance and Policy Think Tank in Tehran. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Ali, let me go to you first in Tehran. After 40 days of conflict, of what's called kinetic action, then we had a lull, and now we have had another 10 days of it. Oh, meanwhile, the United States is surely but surely being pushed out of the Middle East. What is the state of play right now? Is this escalation going to be changing the political calculus in Tehran?
You know, when you see the whole dynamic of the field, you can feel that Tehran is trying to simultaneously follow up negotiation and any scenario for war. We know that based on different assessments, there is no low-cost option or scenario for United States, no matter if we do any grand operation, capturing any island, targeting any facility, including, Energy One, or any special program, or, targeting, terroring any political or, security figure in Tehran. I think when you see all these kind of scenarios, because the Tehran have upper hand in some kind of scenarios, some these kind of scenarios, because it can retaliate and target all the energy facilities, it can disrupt the energy passage through the Strait of Hormuz. And we knew that the United States, the latest time that they tried to, found any kind of ground operation in our region, cost them about $7 trillion. Lots of, personnel died and killed. Therefore, there is no low-cost scenario for them.
Oh, Suleiman, talking about the scenarios here, the United States didn't have a winning strategy in Vietnam, not in Iraq, not in Afghanistan. Why do you think they have a winning strategy here? Because I'm at a complete loss, and I do remember the Vietnam War. I was very small, a very young man, but I still remember it, and we have a cascade of failure. It seems like history keeps repeating itself. Go ahead in London.
Well, you're quite right. History is repeating itself. The United States of America is in a quagmire. Obviously, if you remember, initially, when they began this war, they thought it was going to be a very short operation, that they were going to kill the Supreme Leader, Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei, and then they would basically have a situation very similar to Venezuela. That's not happened. And now what you're seeing is something which is much worse. What you're seeing is an act of desperation. And so yes, each decision that's been made is an act of desperation that is subsequently causing more decisions that are being made, which are reckless and make no sense whatsoever. And so if you look at it from a military perspective, what is the United States of America achieving? On the first 39 days, they were desperate for a deal. They were desperate for negotiations. And now you have a scenario where it's quite clear that they are directing attacks on the southern part of Iran. Reasoning is very simple. They don't have the capability or ability to go deep into Iran because they know they will be hit by Iran's missile, they will be detected by Iran's radars. And so you're seeing a concerted effort to just strike the south. This was even after the fact that four US soldiers at a minimum died, three in Jordan, one in Iraq, one in Syria as well, so five, and then hundreds of injuries. And so what it demonstrates is the US's incapability to take this war further. On the other hand, we have the opposite occurring when it pertains to Iran. Iran is working with the situation very methodically. And you're seeing, for example, Jordan, Bahrain, and Kuwait being targeted in a very methodical manner. The radar systems are being taken out, the air defense systems are being taken out, the communication systems are being taken out, the CENTCOM facilities are being taken out in all of these areas, and we can go continue and continue and continue. And the reasoning is very simple. You're weakening the American capability. Yes. Also, there is more attacks in terms of possibilities of what Iran's aware of in terms of ground invasion. We can talk about that later. But that being said, if you look at the methodical approach, it is systemized, It is consistent and it is escalating. And what we're seeing is Israel being isolated in this scenario. And so I think Israel's well aware of this. And so this is why
I'll talk about Israel in the second part of the program. Bushra, also in London here, we had before the 12-day war, there were negotiations, we are told, that right before this iteration of the war that started on February 28th, there were negotiations. Then we had the MOU. Has Iran reached the point that there's just no sense in dealing with so-called negotiations with the Americans? Yeah, people are talking to negotiators, but the two sides are not talking to each other. I mean, when do we give up this charade that the United States can be trusted to do anything? Go ahead in London.
I think it's really important for people to understand that when you look at the Iranian leadership, that they always look at diplomacy as their first and initial point of call. They always act in defense. They do not attack. And these are just retaliations into the illegal aggression that the United States has imposed itself onto Iran. Iran didn't ask for this war. They didn't want this war. It's been imposed on them. And they will continue with the path of diplomacy simultaneously, while they are happy to also completely be in defense of this sovereign nation. Both of these things exist at the same time. So the idea that we have in the West that Iran always wants to be the aggressor and the attacker and wants to push for escalation is categorically incorrect. But this also doesn't say that Iran isn't prepared. They are fully prepared for an escalation, for a potential ground invasion, because they have had to do that for this strategic interest, for their own security. Have they outlived the idea of having some kind of discussion with America? I think that's always going to be on the table. I think both of those things are going to happen at the same time. But they absolutely do not trust America. And I think anybody of reasonable logic and sound sense are going to know that you cannot trust the negotiations, because having a signature or having a document, now we absolutely know, is not enough for Iran to go on. So, I mean, I personally, as a political analyst, have said multiple times that the Strait of Hormuz has acted as a leverage for Iran,
yep,
and for them to not let that go, because twice they have tried to be kind of reasonable. I think Qatar have currently initiated at some stage that perhaps discussing a 10-day ceasefire plan to then negotiate a 60-day ceasefire plan. Again, this goes back to this commitment that we see from America that continuously do not stand behind. So I think the Iranian leadership know that they have to do both things, but they are fully prepared for any eventuality.
Well, you know, I live in a country that has to deal with American negotiators, too. And the Ukraine war was supposed to be ended in a day, and it's still going on now. So the U.S. is 0-2 when it comes to negotiations. Ali, the problem with the American position is that it wants to maintain its supremacy in the region. Well, those days are gone, and it will never be coming back. Okay, why are soldiers being killed in Jordan? Because they're evacuating their bases in the Gulf. They're in retreat. They're going to Israel. So this supremacy wish, and that's all it is, we can all wish for unicorns if we want, but we're not going to go back to the status quo ante. Go ahead, Ali and Tehran.
You know, the main thing that actually drives Tehran to resist, not only at the, you know, official level, but I think both your guests were in Tehran during the funeral, and they can see that how much people committed themselves to stand for their national dignity, for their national sovereignty, but at any cost that they may, you know, feel it. The very important thing for United States to understand it, that you are, when you are facing with the nation civilization that lasted different threats, you know, from Ottoman Empire, Roman Empire, Mongols, even Saddam Hussein and Ba'ath regime, they, you know, learned to survive and facing with different villains, no matter if it would be Trump or another Saddam Hussein or even Netanyahu. And they are actually fighting for their country. The main question for the Americans is that who you are actually fighting for. Do you really want to make Israel first policy with the administration that its main goal is make America great again? Do they really want to make, you know, every based on their assessment, it would be much higher. But based on their assessment, $25 billion for war without any end, without any strategy. This is really interesting point that they can't find any Venezuela in Middle East and Southwest of Asia. You are facing with the deep nationalized, different drivers that actually united all the nations with all their, you know, different ideas about political things, about religious things. But when you are facing with a civilization, you can see a rally around the flag phenomena. And this is why you can, when you ask every ordinary people in the streets, that if any invader from any part of the world try to attack your country, the answer is the same. We will fight to the end.
Well,
and the main question for the Americans what's your main cause? Your main goal to actually follow up this kind of dictation by Netanyahu, to just follow up their, you know, the Israel lobby to in the United States and IPAC? It's the big question for them.
Yeah, but one of the things that is different here, and I'll go back to Suleiman, we have a minute before we go to the break. This is a case where, you know, as I mentioned, the other failed endeavors, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, but this is the limits of American power. That wasn't the case before. Now it is.
No doubt. I've been a big believer that when it comes to modern day warfare, it's very difficult for the aggressive nation to be able to dominate a defensive nation. And what we've seen with Iran is not only are they defending, you've got the asymmetric style of warfare that they're using and deploying. In addition to that, you've got advanced weaponry, you've got advanced missile systems, advanced and the Shahid drones as an example. You also have the Bidu system from China, you have support from Russia. So you've got basically a situation where they're struggling to deal with Iran and their capabilities. And this is why I was mentioning earlier about desperation. Well, this is what's going to happen. Desperation is going to lead to escalation. Escalation means they can't deal with the war in the manner that is happening now. So we're going to expect some form of attempt in terms of a ground invasion, some form of attempt in terms of possibly using a tactical nuke. And we're already seeing pieces being put in place in regards to both scenarios, both the ground invasion and the tactical nuke. And obviously, we can expand on that after the break.
Yeah, but this is a case here where military strategy doesn't equate into a political victory. And this is constantly a problem with American foreign policy that is unrestrained. But now it's finally met a very hard brick wall. On that note, I'm going to go to a break. And after that break, we'll continue our discussion on Trump's war. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelle. To remind you, we're discussing Trump's war. Okay, let's go back to Bushra in London. As the war is expanding, it's horizontal, as we've already mentioned here. The U.S. is withdrawing its assets from the military bases in the Gulf. And, of course, Jordan is getting the short end of the stick. Don't have America for an ally is one of the things that everyone should be learning from this conflict here. But speaking of American allies, before we convened, I came across a very interesting quote. And it's from Israel Smotrich. And he says, Israel has no interest in joining the war on Iran, which I found really quite remarkable. But here's the quote. The current situation is good for us, and we have no interest in pushing ourselves into it. We are prepared for all scenarios. That is really a remarkable statement, considering we all know the origins of this conflict in the first place here. So the United States, and this is what the criticism has been of Trump, and it's valid, that he's fighting Israel's wars. This is having an impact on American politics and certainly on the midterms here. But the gall of saying, oh, we're not interested in getting involved in this, quite remarkable, and it should be the ultimate lesson for American foreign policymakers. Go ahead in London.
Well, it absolutely speaks to how so many Israeli ministers are barefaced liars. I mean, if you look at the last 2.5 to 3 years, their statements have been both hypocritical, they've been counterproductive, and they have been contradictory. You see, this idea that you have between this relationship, this marriage between America and Israel, it's out there in the open. I mean, the absolute public know that America fights Israel's wars for it. Israel would not be able to stand alone independently and battle Iran if that was the case. We know that they have to have military components. They have to have the United States backing them, for them to have any actual power. You see, most people understand that when Israel talks about its security threat inside of that region, that geopolitical region, it's the only nation that stands against Israel is Iran. This is about influence and power and hegemony in that region. Israel wants to be the dominant force that sits in that region. And America sees Israel as the gateway into the Middle East. This is why they have this marriage. But the American population have woken up. They're saying, we want to finally put America first. That's why the polling for Donald Trump has dropped significantly. I mean, the last time I checked, it was below 30% of American citizens would vote for Trump again. And with the midterms coming up, I mean, there is a possibility that if Trump can put his ego and his arrogance aside, because we know this man is all about entertainment, it's about his platform and who he is. If he can put his ego aside, he will be able to understand that this war is not going to serve him at all. This is his political career over. I believe I tweeted something like a ground invasion would be the nail in his political coffin.
It was, and the absurdity of it all, which, of course, given the, essentially that would be an escalation trap, which Iran should welcome, because it is a, it would be, it wouldn't be the Normandy landing, okay? It would be Gallipoli all over again. So again, we'll see how it plays out. He's a man of great bluffs. We'll see if he'll have the, it'll be the last bluff will be working against him. But Saliman, one of the other elements that in the last news cycle is that the Houthis have entered the fray. They are going to close down the Red Sea. And so if the Gulf, the Gulf of the Strait of Hormuz is 20% of the world's energy, another 15 is added when you look at the Red Sea. I mean, the title of this program is the tightening noose, and this is exactly what's happening. Go ahead, Suleiman in London.
No doubt. I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with Ansarullah in Iran, and they did basically let me know some of the aspects of the plan. And you're quite right, the Bab al-Mandab has been closed to Saudi Arabia. That has impacted, what, 4 to 5 million barrels of oil. They were basically circumventing the closure of the Strait of Hormuz by essentially going through Yanbu. And what you've basically got is, by the closure of the Bab al-Mandab, you have about 50 to 60%, probably about 70%, between 50 and 70% of the oil going through Yanbu that will now be restricted. And this isn't just the only point of escalation. They have the ability, as per what you said, to close the entirety of the Red Sea. They also have the ability to strike oil infrastructure, energy infrastructure in Saudi. And their message is very simple. They want Saudi Arabia to block, so to break the siege, break the blockade, allow them to have free access and freedom. This is merely what they want, and they've coordinated quite well with Iran in order to ensure that both sides achieve their objectives. And so from Iran's perspective, you mentioned about the ground invasion, just wanted to make a point on it. Iran is very cognizant of this possibility that there could be an attempt at a ground incursion at one of the islands, and they are fully prepared and fully ready. And so an example of that is the weapons that went to the Kurds. They are aware that this was kind of, the Americans thought that it was a form of misdirect where they pretended like the Kurds had just taken the weapons. And so you've seen consistent strikes against those assets in Iraq, whether it's Erbil or Sulaymaniyah. You've also seen, for example, a scenario where they've been striking Kuwait because there has been a buildup of US yep. assets in Kuwait for a possible ground invasion as well. And the ground invasion is going to fail. And so the Americans are relying on the Kurds. They are relying on the Kuwait, they're also relying on Julani. And so you've seen, for example, Julani stop at least 3 or 4 attempts at bringing weapons into the resistance in Lebanon to fight against Israel, because they see this as a multi-front war. They want to take out the entire resistance at the same time. But it's not working for them, other than the aspect of basically stopping those weapons.
Saliman, I have a question for you then. I mean, if the Americans, after 40 days of war, then let's add on the last 10, if they can't succeed militarily, they think the Kurds will? Really?
Well, yeah, this is the fallacy of their point.
And it's ridiculous. I totally
agree with you. Yeah, it is. It is completely ridiculous. It's not going to work. That doesn't mean he's not going to try. And the other option is a tactical nuke. There was reports earlier that said that a Dolphin-class diesel electric submarine from Iran, which has nuclear warheads or tactical nukes in it, has been moving towards the Red Sea. So I think all of these options are open for the Americans, and desperation is going to cause this. But because, as you said, things haven't worked, and Iran's position is this. I spoke to some of the people involved in the mediation in Iran. They're saying that they're now, because of the fact that the Americans once again broke the MOU, they're going to be expecting a lot more things in order to come back to the negotiation table.
If nuclear weapons are going to be introduced to the into the region, then in all Gulf monarchies and Israel will disappear from the map. And I think any serious decision maker should be cognizant of that. Let's go back to Ali and Tehran. The only way this is going to end for everybody is if there is a new security arrangement for the entire region, because it has been, before this, was all designed without Iran and against Iran. That all has to come to an end. Iran has a seat at the table, security for Gaul or security for none. That's the only way this is going to end. Ali.
Yes, and this is a really important one, you know. Islamic Republic of Iran actually secured the passage of Strait of Hormuz before the 28th of February without any problem. What was the result and what is the outcome? The outcome, you know, attacking its civilian and killing at one strike, both double tap strike, 168 killed. The result is so important that how now Tehran understands it. I think, based on my personal view, I think Tehran understands it as an existential threat. Therefore, try to do its best to never this kind of scenario, this kind of things happen again by all available means, no matter which would be, you know, any putting any management and arrangement to the Strait of Hormuz, you know, any retaliation strike all over the region to the, you know, energy facility and U.S. bases. Also, if there is any kind of grand operation, I think there would be a really hard scenarios and options for Iran. For example, attacking and counterstrike by grand operation, by attacking Kuwait, Bahrain, or any part else. Also, even you know, rethinking about the doctrine of its nuclear assessment, all these kind of things would be on the table, other than, you know, Bobble Man demonstrate, other than threatening the regional political stability to all the monarchs that provide the logistic support for this kind of attack. Based on my understanding, any, you know, security arrangement for the future of the region really depends on the independence and autonomous between the region parties and actors, with considering that there is a big threat not only for Iran, for the whole region. This is Zionist regime and Israel. You can see that Israel not only attacked Iran, it attacked Qatar, it attacked Syria, it attacked the southern part of the Lebanon, killed more than 70,000 people in Gaza, and it captured more territory in that, you know, if you wanted to compare it with Gaza, in Syria, not with the Saddam, with the, you know, the Assad, who is some kind supporting the resistance, but to the Jolani, to the Ashar, to the, you know, subtitle from the Turkey. When you confront with this expansionist, apartheid, racist regime, I think there is no any other option, not only for us. You can see that how Hakan Fidan and Erdogan even understand the current dynamic. If all the parties of the region understand this threat, I think there is a big chance for all of us, because we are, you know, a civilized and old, ancient neighboring with each other, living for 1,000 years with each other without any problem. The main issue is the dominance of the United States and their main puppets and minion in our region. I think we are reaching to the moment that I'm talking with different colleagues all around the Persian Gulf, also in, you know, other countries in the region. I think now they can understand that there would be, as you just mentioned, there is no security guarantee of United States actually work, but, you know, making them as a target. Therefore, we should work together to understand our concern and try to provide a kind of independent and autonomous region against any this kind of, you know, medals and any kind of, you know, power from out of the region.
Well, one of the themes of this program over the last 6 months or so is that who has a strategy and who doesn't. I think Ali has a strategy that should be listened to. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Tehran and in London. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.